Good evening. Bless you. If you have your Bibles, open to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Burdens. Bearing them together is the title of this message tonight. So last week, I was in here. And by the way, side note, Pastor Christina and Micah are still in Morgantown. They're still at the hospital. Things are going a little bit better. Not out of the woods yet, but we continue to pray that God would heal him. I think the update today was that at the minimum, they'll be there till Friday. So at the minimum, they'll be there till Friday. I think Pastor's trying to make it back this Sunday, though. Even if they're still there, he might drive back for Sunday. So it'll be good to see him. So continue to pray for them. They're going through a lot right now. But last week, we covered this idea of being what? What did I talk about last week? Does anybody remember? Alone. And when you're alone, you're not actually alone, right? We talked about that. It's something that I've been struggling through. I've been thinking about a lot. When you're alone, you're not actually alone. There's one who's there constantly ready to destroy you. Satan is there to tempt you, to destroy you. He's ready. He's there. You're not alone. And then there's one that's far greater and mightier and better in every way, who is there giving you the escape from the temptation, who is there already paid the penalty for the sin, and who is there welcoming you in with open arms. That's our Savior, Christ. So when you're alone, you're not really alone. And this week, I'm going to kind of springboard from that. It might not exactly tie in directly, but I think it will help us a little bit. We're going to be talking about bearing one another's burdens. Something, again, like I talked about on Sunday with hospitality, something that we just don't talk about very often. It's awkward sometimes. We don't want to do it, but it's scriptural. It's in the Bible, and it's a beautiful thing when it's done, when we listen to this command. So let me pray for us, and then we are going to jump in. Father, we come before your word humbled at the perfection of it, knowing who you are, the creator of the universe, that we can now even speak to you, and that you promise to hear us. Help us to look at these truths, help us to take practical application from them, and then go and do them in our lives for your glory. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Galatians 6:2 is really the main verse we'll be talking about, but I'm going to read 1 through 5. It's up on the screen. It's really small. I'm going to read 1 through 5 for context, and I'll kind of talk about some of these other verses as well. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." It's Galatians 1 through 5. So as we continue to reference this verse, and when we specifically talk about bearing one another's burdens, I want to give us a mental picture that's going to help us navigate this word. The first thing I want you to do is when you think of the word bear, I want you to throw the word tolerate out because they don't mean the same thing. So when you say bearing with one another, bearing one another's burdens, it does not mean simply tolerating other people's burdens, okay? So tolerate is not, if you go on Google and you try to find the synonyms, it will show up, but not in this context. Bear means to take up, to carry, to lift. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. And to give you a mental picture, I want to tell you a story of when I was in high school. Actually, Will was there with me. We went on a camping trip when we were in high school. And there was like 7 of us. And the way this camping trip worked, we went to this place in West Virginia called Cass. And there's a railroad that is 5 miles that takes us into where we would stay. So we park the car, and then we hike 5 miles. And on our backs are these 40 to 60 pound, I'm going to say it's that much. It probably wasn't, but it makes us sound stronger if we say there were 60 pounds on our back. We had these big, giant backpacks like in the picture of this guy up here with our sleeping bag, with our food, with fishing gear, all this stuff that we would need for the 4 days that we would spend there. So we all had a pack, and we were all, I think, juniors at this point, so we were all relatively healthy. We camped, this group of guys camped out a lot. We did stuff outdoors so we could handle this. And there was one in the group that couldn't as much as us. So we get in and everything's fine. We camp out for four days, but as you can imagine, little food, didn't catch many fish, a lot of hiking, exercising every day. We're worn out as we are arriving to the day where we have to depart. So we load everything up, we pack everything up, we're exhausted, and we depart for a 5-mile hike out. And we get about 3/4 of a mile into this hike, and the one guy that was with us says, "I can't carry my backpack anymore." And we're like, you know, okay, well, everyone else is doing it, just keep trying, we'll stop if we need to, we'll take breaks if we need to. And it was this constant battle of we had to take breaks, we had to stop for him, and all this other stuff. Till eventually we had the bright idea, how about we just take turns carrying his backpack until we get to the end, okay? So he has this 60-pound bag, we have our own 60-pound bag, and now he's going to try to walk, and we're going to lift up or carry what's causing him pain, his burden, okay, if you will. So he's got this burden on his back, and we're going to take it for him. We're going to take turns walking it to the end. So we did this, and I would love to say that it was because we loved him. Now, I think we did, but really it was we were tired of stopping, and we were tired of hearing him complain about the pain this backpack was causing him. We could have sat there, and we could have just said, well, we have backpacks on our back. We kind of know what you're going through because we're experiencing the same thing here. We can sympathize with you. We could have done that, and it would have been a much longer trek out. Or we could have done what we did and shared the burden, bared the burden that he had, carried, lifted up, take his burden. We couldn't completely fix it for him, but we'll come alongside him. We'll take it up. We'll bear it with him. We'll go through it together with him. You won't have to do it alone. So keep that mental picture in your head when you think of bearing one another's burdens. I know the analogy isn't perfect, but it's definitely helpful. It gives you a better frame of mind when approaching this text. So this concept, like I said, is foreign to us, I think, as Christians. Often in our lives, and I'm very guilty of doing this very thing, we're constantly thinking of our own burdens. We have our own burdens, right? We have those things that are in our lives that we got to take care of. It can be a whole different array of things, but we have our own burdens. So we're thinking of those, and we're like, I don't want to take on any other burdens. Why would I want to? More stress, more anxiety. It's not worth it. Or we could swing so far the other way and not admit that sometimes we have burdens that are too heavy for us to carry, right? So if my friend on the camping trip didn't admit to us that his pack was too heavy for him to carry, he might have stayed there, and we might have lost him, or he would have stayed back, and we would have kept going, right, if we didn't notice him. Sometimes we do that same thing in our lives. We encounter stuff, and we encounter burdens in our lives that are too heavy for us to bear on our own. And our pride stops us from admitting that to other people. Maybe we think, well, this person that we've been praying for, their problems are so much greater than mine, so why would I even, you know, bring it up? Or I feel bad because it's now I'm just making them feel bad for me, and I don't want the attention, or, you know, and on it goes. Sometimes we can do that. So this happens quite a bit. It can be awkward when we bear one another's burdens. It can be messy. It can even hurt. Engaging from verse 1 in chapter 6 here, it can even be brought out of a spiritual weakness on the part of a brother or sister in Christ. So it could even be a sin that someone may be dealing with that we are now almost inviting into our lives to help deal with, if that makes sense. And we'll look more at that. But I want to take a look at the second part of that verse 2. So it says, bear one another's burdens, and then it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See that second part? So fulfill the law of Christ. Now, in Galatians 5:14, so if you rewind, just look to the left, it's in probably the next column. This is the verse that shows up. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this correlates, I think, with 6:2, verse 6:2. So bear one another's burdens. So to fulfill the law of Christ, what is the law? Well, the whole law is wrapped up into one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So bearing one another's burdens, or bearing someone else's burden, is loving neighbor as myself, because I'm not only dealing with my burdens and taking on someone else's. And this law of Christ that is being fulfilled here, I think, is more so shown to us and exemplified to us in Christ and what he's done. And I want to walk through this because I think this is, if we're laying a groundwork, this is the foundation for why we would do something like this and why we would listen to what the command calls for in this chapter. Okay, so I want us to really see this. Bearing one another's burdens imitates what Christ has already shown us. We are regularly being called to love one another in Scripture. But as we go and approach to bear one another's burdens, we can't do that without knowing what Christ has done for us first. So I want to look at 1 Peter 2:24. It's up on the screen. It says, "He himself bore," there's a different way to write that English word bear, "he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Ultimately, at the very core of what has happened, in the very bottom of burden bearing, is Christ on the cross. Now, I know we go there every time, but it is the central focal point of Scripture. It climaxes with Christ dying on the cross for sin. And here it says that he bears our sins in his body on the tree, which is the cross. Our sins are put onto him, and then instead of us having sin, we now have his righteousness. This glorious exchange that takes place, that in my head and in my heart I cannot understand, and I ponder quite often, it still doesn't make sense to me. This substitution where he goes to the cross instead of us. So when Christ did this, he sets the example for us, his followers, and he really does this with about everything he does in his life. We're supposed to imitate Christ, right? So he's doing all these different things, and we're supposed to be like, I want to be like that, I want to be like that, I want to be like that. In the same way, Christ goes, bears our burdens, bears our sin on the cross for us to replicate that with each other. This is the foundation of what we need to know when we approach something like this. So if you think about it, in the same story I gave you, this is like everyone in the world that's ever lived had a 60-pound backpack that they were going camping with. They had it on their back. And Christ takes all of them, and he brings them on himself. And he doesn't even do it to give it back when the camping trip's over. He takes all the backpacks. He takes all the sin of the world and disposes of it. Gets rid of it to return to us no longer if we put our faith in him. So when we turn back to this verse in Galatians 6, take that with you, what Christ has done. Remind ourselves of the gospel as we approach burdens. So, we have these burdens. Everyone has them. They look different for everyone. They can be sickness. They can be loss of a loved one. They can be anxiety. They can be depression. They can be different sins that we may be dealing with in our own lives. They can be a whole array of different things. You have burdens. I have burdens. And they don't all look the same in our lives. They don't all look the same. Maybe some of them do. Maybe some of them line up, match up. But not a lot of them. I deal with things that you guys don't deal with. And you guys deal with things that I don't deal with. Some of you have gone through stuff that I can't even fathom. Some of you, I sometimes stub my toe, and that is a burden for me. And you're like, that's so trivial and dumb. You have burdens, I have burdens, they're not the same. Friends, family, church members, body of Christ, people are going through a different mess in their life that you haven't gone through or dealt with. And you could say the same thing about yourself, vice versa. And you really have no clue, a lot of the times, just by looking at someone, what's even going on in their life, what burdens they're bearing. But in this Galatians text, we see specifically in verse 1 that if someone is caught in sin, there is to be this restoration with them. Let me scroll back there. Restore them with gentleness. Keep watch so you don't sin yourself as well. And then it, right after that, it follows with bear one another's burdens. Like if a Christian is committing a certain sin, there needs to be a gentle and loving bearing of their burden, if that makes sense. Ben kind of talked about this on the Sunday morning Bible study, this past Sunday. There might be a time where you have to help them out of a situation of their sin, and there will be need to be restoration and repentance that takes place. And sometimes that happens. And this is what Paul is specifically referring to here, but he's not leaving out these other things that we deal with because of sin, like sickness, and like death, and like these different things that are burdens on our lives. So now that we see that, and now that we understand that, and now that we see this through the lens of Christ, we need to start making some practical applications. So I'm going to take the rest of the time, and we're not going to be long here, but we're going to take the rest of the time making practical application from those four words, bear one another's burdens, in this verse, okay? And I want you to take these things, and I want us to practice them as a church, because it is so helpful when you go through this life and you're not alone. I know I talked about being alone last week, and this is a different concept of the idea alone. God has designed the church not specifically for this, but this is definitely one of the benefits of being part of the church. This is definitely one of the benefits of being part of the body of Christ, is that you don't have to go through the Christian life, which is difficult. You don't have to go through it alone. There's others that feel the same way, that think the same way. They may have burdens that look like yours, or maybe they don't, or maybe they've had in the past, and you're walking through it together, and you're stumbling, and you're picking each other back up on the path. So I'm going to give, I think, maybe four helpful, I hope, points that practically we can do when it comes to this verse, and when it comes to this idea, and they're in no specific order. The first one is, when we bear one another's burdens, we need to see it through. Okay? If that makes sense. We need to see it through. Go with that person to the completion of the burden. Okay? See it all the way through. The text says to bear one another's burdens. It does not give a time limit. Do it for 2 years. Do it for 4 years and then give up. Do it for 8 years and then give up. Do it for 2 weeks and then give up. It doesn't give a time limit. As long as there is a burden, stick with that brother or sister in Christ until it's done, until it's through, until it's completed. When we carried my friend's backpack, we didn't do it for 3 miles and then drop it off and then say, good luck, you can do it the rest of the way. We're tired of carrying this for you. It hurts us more. We didn't do that. We carried it all the way to the car, okay, which was the end for us, because then we could put it in the trunk and then there's no necessary for us to carry it anymore. We saw it to the end. And in the same way, if we take the example of Christ, Christ bore our sins on the cross until the work was completed on the cross. Okay? He didn't get halfway up there, not die, and then get down, because he could have, and walked away saying, I have completed this whole transaction of defeating sin, so some of you get it and some of you won't. He didn't do that, right? He stayed up there on the cross, he died, and he rose again, completing the action. He saw it through. He bore these sins and got rid of them. So we have to see the burden through, no matter what. It doesn't matter what it is. And all the while, in verse 3, we have to be verse 1, we have to be careful that we ourselves are not being tempted. If that ever becomes a problem, there needs to be more help brought in. And we can talk about that another time. But seeing the burden through no matter what. Being consistent and being faithful to bear one another's burdens will help diminish that problem. Promise you. Willpower alone is not going to defeat a sin. You can't. You're no match for sin. It's too strong for you. You will be defeated every time if you just say, I'm going to get myself up and I'm going to do this. It doesn't work. That might work in some areas of life, but it does not work with sin. In some burdens, it will not work. You, no matter what, you can't make someone healed on your own. You can't do that. You have to walk through it with them. Willpower is not going to fight it alone. So that's why we do it together. That's why we bear one another's burdens. That's why the whole time we're trusting Christ and leaning on him, knowing that he's taking care of this for us. So see it through. That's the first thing. The second thing is match the emotion appropriately. I hope this one makes sense. Match the emotion appropriately. I'm going to go to Romans 12:15. This one says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Kind of self-explanatory, but if someone is weeping because they found out they have cancer, or if someone is weeping because they lost a loved one, or someone is weeping because they broke their leg, this is not a time to come skipping in and saying, oh, turn that frown upside down, right? It's just not appropriate. That emotion is probably just going to irritate them, if anything, right? Like, you're annoying, go away, or something like that. So I think it's good that we match the emotion appropriately, and I think that's what Romans is telling us here. If someone is weeping, it is not wrong to weep. Like, if something like that happens in your life, and you feel like, oh, I don't need to be crying about this because I'm a Christian. David literally cried all throughout the Psalms. This scripture right here tells us, weep with those who weep. Do it. It's commanding us to do that. So match the emotion appropriately. Because like I said, with certain things, it is okay to grieve. And I don't know where we got off on this. Maybe as Americans, we think we need to be tougher and we don't need to have that emotion shown. And then in vice versa, rejoice with someone who's rejoicing. When you, and that might not directly apply to burdens, but especially the latter half when someone's weeping over something. When you come in alongside them and you say, I'm here with you, and it might only look like weeping. I know a lot of the times you just don't have the words to say, and you're just there with them. We'll just cry together here, you know. I don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. We'll just cry. And I've done that before, and it's helpful for some reason. I don't know why, but it works. Probably because it's in the Bible. Match the emotion appropriately. When coming alongside someone to bear the burden, to carry them up, to lift them up, match their emotion appropriately. That's number two. Number three, we have to kill our pride. This one is tough because we are sinners and we're prideful. And pride creeps into our lives in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of timings. When acting to come alongside someone else, it is very easy in that moment to let pride slip in. Oh, they're dealing with that? I've never had to deal with that before. I'm not that bad. They're doing that? Are you serious? I've never done that before. Maybe I'll have some extra favor my way because I've never done that. In that moment, it's very easy to let pride slip in. The devil is constantly tempting you, right? Last week we talked about it. The devil is constantly tempting you to be prideful in a moment like this. That's why in verse 3 it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, so if you think you're all that, right, the pride welling up in you, you're actually not. You're nothing, is what he says. It's funny how this reminder follows directly after bear one another's burdens. I guess the author knew something, that when we come alongside someone else, it's easy to let pride slip in. So it's very important that we kill our pride. Because often our reaction when coming alongside someone else is instinctually to be prideful in that moment, to look good when helping them or something like that. It happens more often than you think, and it can creep in very quickly if we're not careful to watch it. So I'm going to actually use the verse from last week. It says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. So it's important when we're getting rid of our pride, when we're killing our pride, we have to be watchful. We have to expect it to come and get rid of it. You have a few seconds in your head to say, no, you're not allowed in. We're not doing this. We're not being prideful. Because if you let it turn the gears in your mind for a little bit, it's going to stay. It's going to turn into something greater and evil, more evil. So we have to kill the pride. Be aware. Be watchful. And then number four is cast your burdens together. So the first verse I have here is actually in seven, so I just put them together. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We have to, we need to point each other back to the only one who can take the burdens for us. So we can try to defeat them ourselves, but we're not going to. We saw who took the burdens for us, who bore them on the cross. We need to go back to him. So together, we grab each other shoulder to shoulder, bearing one another's burdens, and we are casting, this verse says, all our anxieties on him. Psalm 55 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. That's a promise. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So we're going back to Christ together because he's the only one that can take our burdens. So we're bearing each other's burdens. We're helping each other out. But we cannot forget, we cannot neglect the one who bore them for us. Because he said that he's going to sustain us. And he said in verse 7 back here that he cares for us. And he says that he will not permit the righteous to be moved. These are promises that are coming when we throw them, when we get rid of them onto him. We have to remind each other of scriptures like this when we go through a trial or a burden or when we're caught in sin or whatever it may be. We're going to want to hold on to them for some reason. In our sinfulness, we're going to want to grasp to these burdens because somehow they give us a little ounce of comfort that is vanity, that is fleeting, that doesn't matter. I don't know why. We often just say, I'm fine, I can do it myself, and we go in the opposite direction. When really what we need to do is say, no, I'm not fine. I need you, and I need you, and I need you in my life. And we need to figure this out. We need to get rid of it. We need to see it through together. We need to get rid of our pride. We need to be watchful, and we need to cast these burdens at the feet of Christ because he's going to take them away for us. And we're going to get through this together and not apart from each other. We're going to want to hold on to them. And I think this is really cheesy, but before you can catch fish, you have to cast, right? That's what we need to do here. Before we can move on, and before the burden can be taken away, we have to cast them, get rid of them. This may look, as we close here, this may look like a war movie scene, if you can picture with me. You got two guys running together, and they're in the midst of fire, and there's people shooting all over them, and they're trying to get to cover, and they're running together, and they're running together, and all of a sudden, a guy feels like he's running by himself, and he looks back, and there's his brother on the ground, shot. He doesn't run away, right? What does he do? Goes back and picks him up, right? Puts him on his shoulder, and they're limping together, sacrificing a lot of, and metaphorically in our lives, sacrificing a lot of time, sacrificing a lot of effort, sacrificing a lot of added anxiety to us, right? I don't want to bear someone else's burdens. It just makes more stress in my life. But it's worth it, right? So he's putting all that onto himself so they can get to safety, so they can see it through all the way. It may look like that sometimes for us. Sometimes it may just be coming alongside and weeping with those who weep or just simply listening. Sometimes it looks like that too. This is something, again, that I don't think we do as often as we should. And I think one of the main reasons is because we don't talk to each other about this as much as we should. We want everybody to think we're fine when we're really not. We want everybody to think that we can carry all the burdens when they're too heavy for us. And we don't want to stress anybody out with giving them our lives. When in fact, God tells us to do the very opposite. He says, bear one another's burdens. Carry it. If they can't walk with their backpack, take their backpack and walk it yourself. And then cast it down at my feet and I'll take care of it. I hope this is helpful. I hope this is encouraging. And I hope that we can take these truths and do them as a church. No matter if it's a young person and an old person, no matter if it's a someone who's in a total different area of life than someone else. It doesn't matter. We come together as a church, as God's people, to do this. We need to do it more. That's all I got. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing one more song. And then everybody's invited to go play volleyball after this. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for fellowship and for your word and for the promise that if we cast our burdens at your feet, onto you, that you will sustain us, that you will get us through. And Lord, we are thankful for the example you've already shown us when you went to the cross and took our sin and bore it in your body, that you did not know sin, but you became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, thank you for this amazing and wonderful exchange that happens at the cross that we are undeserved of. But Lord, it's by your grace that we receive this through faith. So we thank you for that. Help us to apply these things in our lives. Help us to seek opportunities to bear one another's burdens. Give us opportunities. Show us how. Teach us, Lord. Give us experience in doing it. We ask this all in the name of your Son. Amen.